and Answers begins right now.
For nearly two decades, Evidence and Answers has been presenting compelling reasons for faith and hope in Christ. Thousands of lives are touched each week as Pat interviews some of the top Christian scholars from around the world. Discover how it all began, the mission and the vision for this ministry as we race past the 1,000th podcast of Evidence and Answers. You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. The last time we were together, Pat shared his personal testimony about his youth and how he came to Christ. Today, he will continue talking about this exciting ministry called Evidence and Answers. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this message entitled 1000th Podcast, and find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's join into part two of this informative discussion.
And so I was about to walk away from Christianity when a friend took me to lunch, and I was giving him, he was a collegiate student, I was a high school, and I was giving him all these facts that seem to just blow apart Christianity. And he just kind of listened to me and he said, you know, I have no answers for you, but here's a book that might help. And he gave me a book which introduced me to this world we know as Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. It wasn't a very big book, about 150 pages or so. And I had never read a book before. You know, for me, 150 pages is a daunting task. I never read a book before.
What was the title of the book?
It was Know Why You Believe by Paul Little. Okay. I think it was written back in the 70s. So I began to read the book. And I hadn't read any, I hadn't even read a comic book before, Keith. You know, I'd read maybe a couple pages in the comic book, and it was just too much for me. I'd tell my sister or someone, hey, read this and tell me what happens, kind of thing. And so anyway, I began reading that book thinking I'm not going to finish it. And what I read just absolutely fascinated me. Wow. You know, and my parents were stunned. Suddenly, Pat's reading a book. What happened to this guy? This guy's reading a book. Wow. And what I read in there just completely fascinated me. There, for the first time, I saw compelling evidence that God exists. The Bible is a historically reliable document and tells us about the life of Christ, who lived a very unique life, died, and rose again. The evidence was just compelling. And, you know, when I was done with that book, I asked my friend, where can I get more books like this? And he said, well, go to the Christian bookstore. I said, what's a Christian bookstore? And so he took me there, and my parents were stunned because I was asking them for money to go buy books. You know, the only thing I ever asked them money for is buy sports equipment. Suddenly, I want to buy books. And they're like, what happened to this kid? And so I got another book on apologetics and began reading it. And that began that lifelong passion for apologetics that really never came to an end in my life. But, you know, I read it and just came a point where I realized the evidence is just too overwhelming that God exists. The Bible is God's word, and Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again, and I place my faith in Christ. And so really, that's kind of where it all began. You probably think, what happened, you know, in high school? Well, I got to test out this evidence. I would talk about it with the priest and with my friends and other teachers there at the school, and you could see that really the evidence was very compelling, and it could withstand the challenges that came upon it.
You know, I mean, I was just kind of thinking, if you were just getting a little bit of a, not kickback, but feedback on the priest, how did your parents take that? I mean, were you mentioned that you grew up Buddhist. Was that kind of, were they like, hey, Pat, I'm glad you're just reading? Or were they pretty like, hey, Pat, you know, that's, we're Buddhists in this family?
You know, that's a great question. And at first they were like, well, it's great. He's now getting out of trouble. Now he's studying. And now life began to make sense because this is God's world. And when we look at it through God's eyes, now the world begins to make sense. The sciences now began to make sense. This highly designed, precise universe is not the product of chance. It's the result of a mind of a creator. And as we begin to study the sciences, we're unraveling the design of the designer. How do we know right from wrong? Well, there's a moral law code given to us by a good and moral God. And I mean, life just began to make sense. Now studies began to make sense. Now, and I began to study and it just made sense, and it became a wonder to study God's world now. And so my parents were kind of like, well, his grades are turning around and he's staying out of trouble. Well, good. But what really began to concern them is that suddenly, you know, I was getting serious about God and following Christ and all this. And that really became a concern. And I think what really got them concerned was, of course, when a relative or family member would die, we'd have a Buddhist funeral. And the fact that I wasn't going there putting incense anymore, that I wasn't worshiping the ancestors and going to many of these Buddhist festivals, I think it was a tough point for them, got them really upset, brought a lot of tension in my family, still does to this day. But trying to explain that coming to faith in Christ, God calls us to follow him and to not worship other gods, to love him exclusively, that other systems of belief that contradict what the Bible teaches or what God's word teaches is false. You know, that's tough things for them to hear, that the priorities of my life would be different. It's not all about making money anymore. It's about serving Christ. And if he puts me in a career that makes money, okay, great. Maybe he may not, but following and doing what God wants is the first priority now. It was very difficult, I think, for most of their life, very difficult for them to understand and accept. And, you know, just a message for those of you that find yourselves in that situation. Keep praying, keep following Christ. Remember the words of Christ that, you know, it's part of the cross that we take up there for the cause of Christ. But there's hope, because my father came to faith in Christ just days before he passed away. My mother has come to faith in Christ. My younger brother has. And so God can use those moments. He honors the commitment of his people. And so I got to see many of my family members come to faith in Christ. So I encourage you there for those of you that face that kind of situation.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure many of the listeners who potentially may not have grown up in a Christian home and then find their faith in Christ, I'm sure they have had similar incidences, especially if it's a different religion. So that's just amazing to hear God's hand that he had in your life. You found Christ. You were very obviously passionate about it. High school to college, what was that transition? Did you stay here on island Oahu, or did you go mainland? Where was the career path after that?
The high school I was at, of course, a lot of colleges come recruiting students at our high school. And in my senior year, I'd come to faith in Christ. I was sharing Christ with my friends. A lot of great, I guess we'll call them our throwdown arguments, you know, high schoolers are, in the locker rooms about the truth of Christianity. And I remember several, they've come to faith in Christ now, but in high school, boy, we had some great knockout, drag out arguments on, does God exist? And is there eternal life beyond the grave and all this? And that's why apologetics was so key with me, because now I could provide evidences and answers to their questions. Well, there was a school that came to town, and they were a Christian university. And I had never heard of a Christian university before. And the college advisor, I guess he knew I was a Christian, and he said, hey, there's this Christian university coming to town. Maybe you want to go. I hear you're really into Christianity. Maybe you want to go and check out this school. And so I went. And of course, I didn't have the grades to get into that school, but I shared my testimony with the college representative. And I said, hey, I'm really ready to study and all that. And plus, they had a golf team. So two things I really like, yeah. Golf and Jesus Christ. And so I thought, well, I got to go to that school. And so that school was in Southern California. And so they let me in on probation. And of course, the first semester, I cracked straight A's. And so I got off probation right away. And so I got there. However, they were also kind of a moderate to liberal school. And so the arguments against Christianity were a little more sophisticated now. And so even more, I had to study apologetics. And so really, I never got out of apologetics from day one. The credibility of Christianity was challenged, and it required me to do some research. And then when I went to this Christian university, I thought I'd be getting everything from a Christian worldview perspective. Well, ended up, I got a lot of the same that I was getting in high school. And so even more, I had to study apologetics. And what was interesting is that there were a lot of students who had the same kind of questions I did. And so I was able, you know, to start Bible studies or discussion groups and interact on these kinds of ideas. And I kept being in apologetics all the way through college, even though I was at a, quote, Christian university.
Wow. It sounds like, I mean, just from the get-go, from high school to college, I have to ask, is there a particular question that always gets brought up? Like when you are defending the faith, is there a particular question that 90% of people will always ask on the first question?
Yeah, it's usually God and the problem of evil. Mm-hmm. You know, God exists. Why is there evil and suffering in the world? That's the number one question. Of course, the second one that I get asked quite a bit is, how can we believe the Bible? There's no evidence that the Bible is historically reliable. And maybe the third question I'll get, especially now, you know, Keith, is, you know, the whole issue of gender and sexuality. Back then in the 80s, of course, it was homosexuality. Now you add the gender issue to it. But why do you Christians hate gays or something? You know, it's kind of posed in that manner kind of thing. How can you condemn them when God created them this way? Kind of thing. So those are maybe the top three questions I get asked about, you know, when I interact with unbelievers. Probably the other one I hear, especially being, you know, here and in Asia a lot, if Jesus, you know, how can Jesus be the only way? You know, and if he is the only way, what about those who never heard the gospel? So those are maybe the four I hear quite a bit, the most popular that I constantly, you know, get.
Well, and if you continue to listen, or have you been listening, I'm sure Pat has already covered some of those topics. You know, it sounds like I kind of envision you were almost like the Rambo of defending the faith. But, you know, as we all know, it takes more than just one person. I would love to know, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know, is that have you had mentors? Have you had inspirational people in your life to kind of continue spurring you on in this?
Yeah, you know, Keith, and some of those mentors, many of them didn't even have college degrees. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, Pat, you've got your grad degrees and all this. Your mentors must have been PhD people and all these smart. No, a lot of them never had their collegiate degrees, but they had tremendous impact in my life. There are several men who just took an interest in me. You know, in high school, I think a lot of people in church I was in were scared of us. You know, here we are. Coming in, chewing tobacco, drinking beer, you know, having barbecue in a church parking lot kind of things. And
parking lot.
And we didn't know any better. You know, we just carried over our baseball, football lifestyle and brought it to church. And there were several men who just were from that background as well, took an interest in us, realized we had come to Christ, but we had no clue what we're supposed to be doing or living or studying or whatever. And they just took an interest in us and began to disciple us. And then in college, I got involved with a group called Campus Crusade or CRU. And I had several upperclassmen, but also staff people take an interest in me and disciple me, you know, and really encouraged me to go into ministry. I had never thought I could. I wanted to make my life count for the Lord, but I never thought about going into ministry or anything. And they would encourage me to lead Bible studies and kind of speak at some of the crusade meetings and things. And, you know, it just scared me to death. I never liked speaking in front of people or anything. Still get nervous, even now, still get nervous about the whole thing. But they really encouraged me in that arena. And of course, there was a guy there. He's kind of been mentor. It was vicarious. It was through the books I was reading. Of course, it was in the arena of apologetics, and his name was Dr. Norman Geisler. I kept reading his books continuously because he's one of the great defenders of our faith in our generation. And I remember after I finished college, they said, you know, Norm Geisler teaches at Dallas Theological Seminary over there. If you want to study under him, you should go over there. And so I said, oh, man, Norm Geisler, okay. At that time, I wasn't really convinced I was going to go into full-time ministry, but I thought, boy, I want to study on this guy, Norman Geisler. And so I applied and got into Dallas Seminary, and I got there, and the year I got there is the year he left, you know. So I was kind of wandering around campus like, well, what do I do now, you know? And, you know, kind of wandering like a lost person trying to figure out what to do. And a couple professors there, Dr. Robert Chown, took a real interest in me. He was the professor of Christian education there. And he said, Pat, you know, and he saw my passion for apologetics and he encouraged me to go in that direction. But he also said, you ought to major in Christian leadership. I said, why do I want to do that? And he said, well, you can learn a lot of this apologetics and things, but the ability to teach, to communicate with people, to connect with people, to lead organizations like that, those are some skills you're really going to have to learn that you may not be able to learn. And we've got a great department here. And back then they had great leaders like, you know, some people, older people recognize these names, Ken Gengel, Howard Hendricks. They're kind of like the John Maxwell of the day, the big Christian leaders writing the books on leadership. And they said, they're in our department and you ought to study under these guys. So I said, okay. And so those guys had a great impact on my life as I studied there at the Dallas Theological Seminary. And then, of course, Dr. Geisler started Southern Evangelical Seminary in North Carolina. And so I eventually applied and I got in there and I got to do a program under Dr. Geisler. So finally, chased him down.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I got to study under him, got to write a book together with him. And that was a tremendous mentoring opportunity just to see how he studies, how he learns. Those were pretty valuable, but also how he interacts with believers, unbelievers, all of that. So there have been a lot of mentors in my life. I've probably missed about 24 names there through the whole process. But yes, there have been a lot of mentors who've come along in my life, some just for a couple years, some have been a lifetime. One that man I followed, but he died, but he kind of served as a member through his writings. You know, he's the great C.S. Lewis. You know, his writings have been tremendously influential on my life as well. And so, yeah, I've had numerous mentors. I can see their faces flashing through my mind, just a lot of men who invested in my life and really encouraged me to follow the path that and the career that I'm in today.
It truly is amazing that it really does take a person to invest and to mentor you. So it, you know, I'm sure you're in a season of still having some mentors, and hopefully you too are a mentor to any up and coming that are just as passionate in this. Now we got to the Dallas Seminary. How did Evidence and Answers start? Was that a product of graduating from there, or did you preach after college, or how did Evidence and Answers come about?
Yeah, when I was in college, I was, you know, playing on the golf team and studying, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just, you know, wanted to do something for the Lord. I wanted my life to count for something. And I had taken a bunch of Bible classes and religion classes and things. And in my senior year, the guidance counselor said, you know, you really should declare a major because you should be graduating next year. And I thought, oh, is that what I'm supposed to do? Okay. So I said, well, I don't know what to major in. And she said, well, you got a bunch of religion classes. Why don't you declare a religion major? And I said, oh, okay. So I did. Meanwhile, with the campus ministries and the church that I was involved in, they were asking me to speak a lot and teach and things. And they said, you know, you're pretty good at this. Why don't you, would you consider going into the ministry full time? I said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. But I really couldn't find anything else that I was really passionate about. And there were a lot of people with a lot of questions like I had. And I was just constantly teaching apologetics, no matter what subject I may have been involved in or teaching. And so that's also another reason that drove me to go to Dallas Seminary. You know, Dr. Geisler was there, but also people were saying, you're pretty good in this arena. You should consider it. So I went to Dallas Theological Seminary. And of course, Norm Geisler, that was the year he left. You know, funny story on the side, when I finally got into class with Dr. Geisler, this is the first time I'm sitting next to him. There's only about 10 of us in this doctoral class. And at the break, he kind of looked over at me and said, so where are you from? And I said, Dr. Geisler. I said, boy, you owe me big time. And he looks at me and he goes, why do I owe you anything? I said, I left Hawaii. I left my surfboard. I left my girlfriend. I left my job. I left everything to come study under you at Dallas Theological Seminary in 1989. And he looked at me and he says, well, that's the year I left. I said, that's why you owe me, man. And he said, he kind of laughed. He said, well, I heard you were coming. So I got out of there. You know. Anyway, that's kind of humor that he had. And so anyway, I was wandering around Dallas, and apologetics, most of the classes had gone with Dr. Geisler. And so they really didn't have much in apologetics. And so I was asking a man who became my mentor, Dr. Robert Chown, I said, you know, this is really my passion. So while I'm here, where can I get exposed to apologetics? And he said, you ought to call Probe Ministries. They're up the road in Richardson. That's a suburb north of Dallas. Great group of guys. They're in apologetics. You ought to go and work with them. So I drove up there and I met with Probe Ministries. The president there was Kirby Anderson. You may know his voice from Point of View, a very national radio show that he has here. He became another mentor in my life, a brilliant guy. But I went over there and began talking. They said, well, you ought to do an internship with us. Then you can hang around and see what we do and learn apologetics. And so I did. I ended up doing a 10-year internship with them. I joined them. I was their intern. And eventually I started speaking in the area of apologetics. I started researching and doing radio with Probe Ministries. And, you know, just being a young guy still in seminary, I was being asked to speak in different parts of the country on this arena of apologetics and things. And so that's how I really got in the arena of the apologetics kinds of ministry there with Probe Ministries. Graduated from Dallas Seminary and became an associate pastor in a church. Because Probe Ministries, you have to raise your own support. And I didn't think I had enough to raise support. So I became an associate pastor. And that was very valuable as well. I understand the things that pastors go through and things that churches struggle with. So I believe makes Evidence and Answers, you know, a great asset for the churches. But anyway, I was involved there. But also, I still was an intern there at Probe, my 10-year internship. And what happened was, you know, more and more people started asking me to come speak at their churches. And I was flying around the country speaking at different churches. And the pastor, you know, was getting pretty upset with me because, you know, I'm jetting around all over the place. And he finally said, hey, you better figure out what you want to do. You want to be a pastor or you want to go be an apologist with Probe Ministries? And so I realized there was a decision I had to make. And I sat down with another professor of mine and I sat down and I shared with him two possibilities. And he just said, you know, Pat, if you want a pastor, you can always go back and pastor. But he said, an apologist, especially an Asian guy who's got a burden for Asian, he said, that's a lot more rare. There's not many of you guys around. If you have the opportunity to go and be a full-time apologist, you ought to pursue that. And so I really thought about it and prayed about it. And I said, okay. And so I joined the staff of Probe Ministries full-time. And that's how, you know, I was there with them for 20 years. That's how we got into radio and writing and publishing and all these things. And then eventually when I moved back to Hawaii in 2010, that's when 5 years later, we began Evidence and Answers there in 2015.
Wow, what a journey that it was. So Evidence and Answers, is that, how did that name come about? Was that just a product of, hey, these are the evidence and it produces the answers? Is there kind of a unique story behind that?
Yeah, I was working for Probe Ministries there in Dallas, Texas. And of course, radio stations were calling me for the kind of articles and things that I was writing. And there was a guy in Austin, Texas, who had his own radio show. His name was Kevin Harris. And he called me and he said, hey, I'd like to interview you on a topic you wrote on. And so, you know, I remember the title was Abuse, Churches That Abuse, Spiritual Abuse. So we did a show on that. And then he called me again. He said, hey, I need a show on this. You wrote on this archaeological discovery that was made. Can we do a show on that? So we did that. And then he called me a few more times. And then finally he said, then Kevin moved to Dallas, Texas. And he called me up and he said, Pat, I'm on a Salem station here in Dallas, Texas and all this. And he said, I really think you ought to have your own radio show. So I said, oh, you think so? He said, yeah, let's come in and talk about it. So I came in and we started talking about a radio show focused on the Christian worldview and apologetics. And he said, and I got the perfect name for the show. I said, well, really, what is it? He said, Evidence and Answers. Wow. We're going to provide evidence for Christ, answers for the issues Christians are facing today.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586, or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio free to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran. Wake up.